91.3 FM, WLVR, Bethlehem, with the latest from Todd Rundgren's album, Arena. That one's called Gun, in case you didn't know. Before that, a beautiful piece called Bardo. We also heard Mountaintop, all three pieces from Arena. Before that, so yeah, it was a Rundgren block, international feel. We also played Black Mariah, which was preceded by Sounds of the Studio, the intro review from Something Anything. Todd explaining a little bit about recording. And more from Arena, we played Strike, Mercenary, Man Up, and Mad, kicked off the Rundgren block. And, you know, there are only a handful of artists that are recognized and heralded as pioneers and innovators and, dare I say, genius. And these are musicians who have, you know, pushed and stretched and or removed the boundaries of rock music and pop stylings. And throughout his career, this man has given so much to the art of music through his writing, his playing, his videos, his renowned production of so many artists and bands, his embracement and innovation of technology with Patronet, and, of course, his incredible and distinctive music. March 25th, the tour resumes in support of his latest album, Arena. A wizard, a true star, joins us today on this edition of Fritz Rocks. Please welcome the multi-talented Todd Rundgren. Todd?
Ah, I was almost asleep when you...
I had to play so much Todd music today.
Oh, God, it does go on, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it all kind of sounded good together, too. The new album, by the way, congratulations, man. It certainly is a perfect title for this record, guitar rock-oriented songs that capture a true sense of 70s arena rock with some definite social and political consciously messages written within.
Yeah, well, in old days, the original arena rock, it would have been about trying to talk a girl into your hotel room after the show or something like that. Or the original arena rock anthems, which were about how cool it was to play rock.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't necessarily about anything else except, this is so cool, I'm up here with a guitar, and you guys all paid to see me.
But there's a lot more than that in this record here.
Well, you know, there's a lot of water under the bridge since the 70s.
Yeah.
We never thought we would, you know, I never thought I'd live through another kind of like anti-war generational thing, but
yeah.
Lo and behold, what goes around comes around.
Yeah, history does have a way of repeating itself.
But the record was a great opportunity, as you mentioned, for me to stretch out on guitar, because a lot of my career up until recently, I've been focusing on the singing and sometimes, you know, fronting some sort of a musical unit, but not taking the lead in terms of the soloing and stuff. So it's fun for me.
It had to be fun. A lot of hot guitar leads and licks on here, and I wanted to ask you, was the Arena album in which you played all the instruments recorded, mixed, and mastered, was that all done on your Scully 8-track recorder and a laptop, or both, or what?
No, just the laptop.
Just the laptop?
Well, normally I'd use a more elaborate setup.
Okay.
You know, most recording nowadays is done digitally, and I have a Pro Tools setup here that I would, under most circumstances, use, but I live out here in Kauai, and it seems like the salt air has an effect on your electronic equipment.
Okay.
And if I don't boot the system up every once in a while, then I don't know what happens. Something happens inside it, but I was ready to do the record, and I turned it on, and it wouldn't start.
Oh, wow.
So I said, well, I'm raring to go here. I'm going to find a different way to get this thing recorded. And with a couple of software programs and a couple of little hardware tools, I managed to do it all on my laptop. And it was, I wouldn't recommend it to everybody because I had to do a few peculiar things, but in general it was, it gave me a lot of flexibility. I could kind of work on the record wherever I was. I had the studio with me at all times. So I'm sure there's some other more sophisticated musicians who are saying, ha, I've been doing that for years. But for me, it was a relatively new experience trying to do it without the benefit of a ton of equipment.
Yeah, and so then you're mixing and mastering. Did you record the tracks separately and then dump it in the laptop and then, you know, mix and master it? Or did
no,
you record it,
was all
it
done,
right?
All done in the laptop.
Is that a MacBook or something you're working with? It's not a PC, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it would have been a MacBook Pro, excuse me.
Okay. Because I cannot
not
see
any
that.
MacBook.
Yeah. I can't see it, you know, really being done with PC. It seems like Mac is the technology to go for sound and video, you know?
It does. It's a little bit more plug and play with a Mac, yeah, than it would be with some other devices. But I imagine that... I think all of the tools that I use, they exist in both platforms. So somebody could have done it on a PC. I wouldn't, but it could be done on a PC.
Oh, sure. I guess you can do anything these days with technology. And technology's been kind of close with you throughout the years, man.
Well, I was always interested in technological things growing up. My dad was an engineer, so we had some... you know, comfort level and familiarity with technical things.
Okay.
My high school years, ironically enough, I was terrible in school and kind of longed to just be out in the world and you know, get hands-on with things. And you discover that once you do that, a lot of stuff is less daunting. Just reading about it can be frightening.
Sure.
You know, once you get hands-on and a little bit of a comfort level with things, you know, I picked up a lot just by doing, I guess.
Can we talk a little bit about the tour, the players in the band right now? You got some great musicians there, such as the Tubes' Prairie Prince on the drums and Prince bass player Rachel Hayden. Can you talk a little bit about the band?
It's mostly the core section that I've been out with in recent years.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, Prairie Prince on the drums. Jesse Grest, Bethlehem Boy, on guitar.
Guitars, yeah.
Yeah, and and a slight switch up in terms of the bass. Normally it would have been Chasm Sultan, but he's moved over to guitar and keyboards, and moving up to the bass position is Rachel Hayden, who's one of... a set of triplet daughters to the jazz bassist Charlie Hayden. So,
oh wow,
he's got a pretty sophisticated pedigree as well.
Yeah, I would say the apple doesn't fall from the tree in that family.
No, as a matter of fact, they go out touring as a family sometimes. They've just had a record come out not too long ago with the Hayden family, and she and her sisters all sing, you know, this kind of very tight. Americana sounding harmonies, you know, like from the Ozarks or something.
Oh, nice, nice.
So, yeah, she's got a real good voice for what we're doing as well.
You know, hailing from Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, I actually have family down that way. And starting young with, you know, Woody's Truck Stop, then the Naz, and, you know, were there some friends and family maybe from your old stomping grounds at the sold out Sellersville Theater show in December?
I thought that I was going to see a few people, but that was a very late show.
Okay.
A lot of my, as you mentioned, a lot of my contemporaries are, we're getting on.
Okay.
We're getting on. I think I wouldn't really be up for going out to see a show that started at 11.
Even
at my age. But I do see, you know, some of the... people that I knew when I first moved to Philadelphia, but as far as Upper Darby's concerned, my family has moved down to the Jersey Shore. I don't know anyone in Upper Darby anymore.
Oh, wow. Well, it's been a long time then.
I know people from Upper Darby.
Yeah.
Tina Fey went to Upper Darby High School.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact. And so did Sherry O'Terry, who was also on SNL. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember her, Sherry O'Terry, sure.
Yeah, this little short girl who do the cheerleading thing with Will Ferrell.
Yes, of course, definitely. Yeah. And, you know...
A hotbed of talents, Upper Darby High School.
Upper Darby, yeah, sure. And that was kind of a last-minute thing, that this booking down at Sellersville, because we found out about it and it was already sold out.
Yeah, well, it's not a particularly large place.
No.
And, we did add it at the last minute. There was a possibility we wouldn't have been able to do the gig because we taped the David Letterman show that night.
Yeah.
But it was only, you know, it was about 2 hours from New York City to Sellersville. We sent the crew ahead. We sent half the crew ahead.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty good show, as I recall. It was a long day, certainly.
You know, yeah. Oh, I can imagine.
Rehearsals rehearsals and such. A very hectic time. The day before, or 2 days before, Rachel, a bass player, had an accident in her hotel room, and the window slammed on her little finger.
Oh, geez.
And that happened, the day before we were supposed to do the Letterman show. Boy, was that creepy.
I bet, man.
And then she had to, play the show in Sellersville with one less finger.
Oh, wow.
So she was still adapting that night.
And how'd you like the venue? How'd the show go? Because I wasn't there, and I haven't really heard too much about it.
Well, it was a fun show. The small venues are great because... Because you can kind of see everybody, you're not playing into a dark cave.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's a little bit more intimate.
Yeah, it's more intimate. That said, the kind of music we play might be a little bit loud for a tiny venue like that. We try and keep it under control.
Yeah, but we like it loud, Todd.
We like it loud.
Yeah.
Plus, we're losing our hearing. It needs to be loud.
That's right. We have to compensate for all these years of listening to rock, man,
We'll be going past Sellersville on this next leg, but we won't be actually in Sellersville.
No, actually, you'll be in New York City and New Jersey.
Yes, that's as close as we get to Bethlehem this time. I believe New Jersey is probably the closest gig.
Yeah. And here's a question I was wondering whether you were involved with this, but your website, it's like a mini bio. And did you construct all the Flash animation at the TR-1 site?
No, I had somebody else do the grunt work.
Man, it's cool.
We kind of, we conceptualized it together. And the idea was, that it's, so many sites are about, a whole lot of clicking and going around to, and trying to get people to sign up for stuff. And I just wanted a site that was a little kind of movie about me.
Yeah.
I had this different approach at the time, was that you could use the web as kind of like distributed television. And now... it's kind of moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now with these sites like Hulu and YouTube and stuff like that.
Right.
Television is just becoming a much more common form of media on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm away and I can't connect them with my sling box or anything like that. I'm always using the web to watch episodes of The Daily Show and Countdown and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, speaking of that, where do you see the whole music industry, the major labels, large media companies, and their place in the future of music and technology? Because you've kind of been a bit ahead of the crest of the wave with the technology, Todd. So where do you see it going from here?
Well, it seems like CDs are moving towards being collector's items. People are going to buy fewer and fewer CDs. Which is, in a way, kind of the end part of a less happy part of the evolution. I think every one of us rued when we went from LPs to CDs, and suddenly the graphics all got real small.
Yeah.
And one of the things about one of the great things about album covers was
the art,
the artwork. The read along aspects of them. Mm-hmm. The liner notes were bigger, if there were any, so they were easier to read, and there's a collector's aspect about them, separate
sure.
from the records. The actual album covers have a different cachet.
Yeah,
and also you could roll on them.
Yes, you could.
But you can't do on a CD cover.
No, you can't.
And you certainly can't do on the back of an iPod.
So where do you see it going? Like I said, you see the CD
I think, as I say, you'll see less and less CDs, but maybe that's also an opportunity that someone will fill in that, that artwork gap and say, like, you buy a downloadable record, but you could also, get a voucher and go to Kinko's or something and collect a lot of nice, big, colorful, old-fashioned printout to go with it.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be an opportunity for somebody. But it seems like most people, now they see their collection as being whatever fits on the device they're carrying around.
Yeah.
And so the idea of having a CD collection has morphed into having a large hard drive.
Yeah, well, I'm still kind of stuck between the old world and the new school, and I've got a little bit of everything. And it's kind of scary when I look at my iPod that my entire collection of vinyl, plus every CD that I own, and we're talking thousands and thousands of titles, can be held in the palm of my hand. In 1973, if you would have told me that, I would have said, no way. It's impossible, you know? It's kind of scary.
You know, it's scary if you don't have it backed up somewhere.
Well, I do have it backed up.
As long as it's backed up, you know, it's that kind of thing, like, where you're out, you're away somewhere, and you say, John, geez, I wish I had that CD. But you do have it.
Yes, I do. And I won't get rid of them either.
Well, also the idea of... certainly on computers, and it's moving into the realm of mobile devices, of, you know, streamed music services like Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Where you can pay a flat fee and listen to all the music in the world. And that I always thought was the ideal model, at least from a consumer standpoint, and to a certain degree from an artist standpoint, because compared to the number of artists and songs there are, the number of songs that get played, for instance, on the radio, is just a microscopic blip.
Yeah.
And if people don't have to buy songs one at a time, they're much more likely to go out and explore and find things that are out of the mainstream, and that's good for artists who are out of the mainstream, as I find myself so often.
But your music is still relevant and important. And we're so glad that you put out the Arena album. How long was it in the making, Todd?
It wasn't a terrifically long time, probably about 2.5 months, 2.5 to 3 months, which is longer than it used to take me to make records, but that was when I hadn't made so many. And you discover that when you haven't made so many, there are a lot more things to write about. Then the more records you make, you start running up against the problem of repeating yourself. So I take my time a little bit more as I'm making the records. I think also realizing that I probably have made more records than I have yet to make, I'm going to be much more careful about the ones that I make.
Okay. For the Rundgren fan, there's plenty to digest and interact with on the web. And can you talk a little bit about the sites and maybe your involvement with some of the sites, such as the trconnection.com? And
well, I have, there are sites that I recognize are going to have, in one sense,
That's okay.
My train of thought.
That's okay. We're talking about the websites and TR Connection.
Oh, yeah,
and your involvement
with that. I recognize that there's a certain legitimacy that even I can't create by something that the fans themselves have put together.
Okay.
And, the TR Connection essentially is the ultimate in that sort of, fan-created environment. And
there's so much there, Todd.
There's so much of it, and first of all, I wouldn't have the hours in a day to manage it.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge website.
Yeah, and in addition to that, as I say, the fact that the fans built it and, it's managed by one particularly conscientious guy, it has a legitimacy that even a site of my own wouldn't have because of the fact that there is no editorial policy of mine being imposed on it.
Being imposed, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if I was running it, I would say, oh, maybe you can't put that here.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, you're getting something that is really comes from the fans. It's sincerely theirs and unvarnished by anything that I have to do with it. So I always recommend that because it's even more accurate than I could be. It has that democratic kind of leveling thing like Wikipedia.
Sure.
And there's a site called Rundgren Radio.
I was listening to some of that last night, Todd.
Yeah, and that, they have interviewed just about everyone I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
And they play my music constantly, which, if you can stand it, plenty of it there. But Yeah, that's been a real kind of a boost as well. So these are things that I don't really run, are not officially mine.
Okay.
The official thing that I was working on was Patronet, and I, you know, I'm still sort of up in the air with that. It was such a drain on my technological capacities that I had a hard time maintaining it. But I would say that's the place to go. I mean, that would have been the place to go if I was still in that business.
Yeah.
Which I may get back into someday. But
is the business totally defunct now? You closed it down or what?
Well, it's, you know, it's just let's say it's on a temporary and indeterminate hiatus.
Okay.
Until I figure out if there's a possibility to revive it.
Okay. Because that was really your baby.
Yeah, it was. Unfortunately, the last time I tried to launch it, it was the same time that Vista came out.
Ah.
So nothing, even people who had thought they had nice, stable applications, you know, were freaking out.
Yeah, yeah. I just delved into the world of Vista and bought a laptop, and oh, my Lord, I'm not so happy. you know, it's convincing me to go to a Mac, let's put it that way, you know?
Well, give it a try.
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will.
Okay. I gotta get off here. I've got another person calling pretty soon, so let's do promos.
Okay. I just want to tell the listeners that you are coming back to the East Coast. April, you've got two nights at the City Winery in New York City, the 16th and the 17th.
That's correct.
And then you're coming back to Vineland, New Jersey at the Hangar on the 18th.
Yes, I believe we've been at the Hangar before. So,
Well, perhaps I can come up and see one of these shows.
Definitely.
All right.
Looking for you.
All right, man. I want to thank you for the music, Todd, most importantly. And again, thank you for joining us today. And we hope to see you in April.
Terrific. My pleasure.
All right. Can you hold the line just a second?
Sure.
All right. Let me go back to the Arena album and give the listeners one more. 91.3 FM, WLVR Bethlehem. You are listening to Fritz Rocks with Todd Rundgren. And here's another one from Arena.